Let's go to the Arkansas Mailing Services Hotline and chat with John Cooper from Saturday Down South. John, what is up, my man?
RJ, what's going on, dude?
Oh, you know, just middle of football season. I know you guys are busy. I looked at the website this morning, and you guys have things rolling on Saturday Down South. How's everything been with the website, and how have you been?
Good, doing good, man. We've been growing, and fan participation, social media engagement's been growing too, and we're really excited about where things are headed with Saturday Down South. But all of it wouldn't be possible, you know, if we didn't have the pride and the passion of the SEC and everything that entails with that every Saturday.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about this week's game, South Carolina and Arkansas. This weekend, you know, we broke down the game yesterday, and the way South Carolina's been playing the last couple of weeks, really last 3 weeks, I think this is a winnable game for the Razorbacks. Am I crazy by thinking that?
No, absolutely not. And when you look at South Carolina, their problem is they're leaving teams in games. You look at UCF, and you look last week against Kentucky, and they jumped out the big leads, and then the defense and the secondary kind of just falls asleep and, you know, doesn't put teams away. The offense is firing on all cylinders. Connor Shaw is playing really well. Mike Davis, of course, carrying the load. That's going to be fun to see Davis and Alex Collins going head-to-head, arguably the two best backs in the SEC right now. This is a very winnable game, but it's important to get off to a good start. And essentially, you know, if South Carolina lets them back in the game, they're going to have to take advantage of it late in the game in the second half.
And, John, when I look at the slate of the SEC games, one of the most intriguing games to me is 5-0 Missouri at a battered and bruised Georgia, who's 4-1, and now they're number 7 in the country. And a lot of people had Georgia, and I had Georgia in the national championship preseason. I thought they had the talent, but they're banged up. Does Missouri actually have a chance to go in to Athens and win this game?
Absolutely they do. Missouri's one of the hottest teams. They're probably the sexiest, trendiest upset pick in college football heading into this weekend. And you look at what James Franklin's doing, the quarterback of Missouri, and the numbers he's putting up, very similar to when he was in the Big 12. And, you know, he's got three formidable receivers on the outside, of course, with Doyle Green Beckham leading the way, and two backs in the backfield, Henry Josie and Russell Hansbrough, and then an offensive line that's healthy. The defense isn't great, and Georgia's going to score a lot of points on them, but at the same time, Georgia's defense isn't great either.
Right.
And I think Missouri is going to put some serious numbers up. It's going to be a classic Big 12 shootout on Saturday.
John Cooper from Saturday Down South is joining us on Overtime. Now, I looked on the website today, and you guys have your SEC game of the week is Florida and LSU. Who do you like in that game and why?
Oh, man, it's such a tough game to pick. It's the toughest game this week, in my opinion, to pick. And, you know, both teams do great, completely opposite of what the other one does. If you look at, really, every year, this is one of the most physical games in the SEC, and both of these teams just want to beat you up. And then you got LSU, who's taking a little bit of an identity, a different identity on the offensive side of the ball, and their passing game with Mettenberger and Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham on the outside, and against Florida's secondary, Luchez Purifoy, Marcus Roberson, Bernard Hargraves. They probably got five NFL defensive backs, future NFL defensive backs playing right now. That's one of the most, entertaining matchups that we'll see the entire season. What's going to give? You know, it's going to come down to Florida and whether they can score with LSU. And you know, a lot of questions revolve around Florida because of their offense. Can they score enough points to get it done? I think they can with Tyler Murphy. He's one of the most exciting players right now in the SEC.
Yeah, I think it's an upgrade, Murphy from Driscoll, when I saw him come in. And then he actually, I think his first start was against Kentucky. So, you know, one of the bottom-tier teams he got to start against. And I agree with you as far as Florida's defense, in my opinion, is the most talented in the country. Definitely top three. You look at that defense and just the physicalness of that defense. They all look the part, but the question I have for you is Jeremy Hill, is he the best running back in the SEC, and are they going to be able to run the ball against Florida in that defense that they have?
Well, I think when healthy, I think Todd Gurley is probably the best back in the SEC, but Jeremy Hill is a close second. Mike Davis, South Carolina, is in the mix too. But, you know, that's certainly a concern. And the reason we saw Georgia win was certainly because of Aaron Murray, but because they stopped the running game. LSU got 77 yards on the ground against Georgia, which we weren't anticipating that. That's the reason in when the game. Mettenberger was brilliant. The receivers were brilliant. The defenses were terrible. So it's up to Florida to stop the running game. If they can make LSU one-dimensional a little bit. And the one thing we know about Muschamp is as a former defensive coordinator and a defensive guru, he's going to try to take away something from LSU, and that's obviously going to be the running game. You're going to have to make them one-dimensional in the passing game. Certainly a trendy matchup. Probably LSU needs to be the favorite, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Florida pulls the upset.
John Cooper from Saturday Down South joining us on Overtime. Now, John, let's go back to the South Carolina-Arkansas game. There's been a lot of talk of whether Clowney's going to play, whether he's not going to play. He says he's doing everything he can to get back in the game. What do you think, and do you think he's hurt as bad as everybody thinks he is?
Well, it's put up or shut up time right now for Clowney, and if he's hurt, then he needs to take off, get rehab, get ready for the draft. If he's not hurt, get your hind in there and start playing. You know, there was a lot of talk before the season about whether or not he should even play, and he's got a $5 million insurance policy compared to a $20 million contract in the first round. So there's a lot to lose, and you know what's going through his mind. You know what's going through his family's mind. But he set out this season to play, and he's saying all the right things right now. And I think it wouldn't have been that big of a deal had Spurrier not opened the can of worms after the Kentucky game and really questioned whether or not he was truly injured. That's what all the uproar is about. If Clowney were to come out and say, look, you know, I know what's at stake, we probably wouldn't be tearing him down as bad. But the sheer fact of him saying, look, I'm a team guy first, I'm sitting out, I'm playing this season, you know, that probably has a lot of people buzzing right now.
And really, when you think about it, if he's in the game, he really hasn't been much of a factor in any game this year because teams have gone away from him. He hasn't even been in on plays. I don't see, even if he plays in this game against Arkansas, him being that big of a factor.
Well, I think as far as a factor-wise, his imprint is definitely on the game. He's not putting up the monster numbers that everybody had expected. But then again, you know, the media, and we're the ones who created this monster, and he's supposed to come out and get 30 sacks and set all these types of records and make a hit in every single game this season. I think it's more about the expectation level that we had for him as opposed to his lack of impact. Teams are going away from him, and offenses are scheming against him, and they're taking him, you know, kind of out of the games, if you want to look at it that way. But he's still getting to the quarterback. He's not getting sacks. And, you know, I think that defense is a different defense with him in there, certainly.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, Jadeveon was the next Reggie White cross between Lawrence Taylor is what everybody was saying. And looking at this A&M Ole Miss game, Auburn was able to, it seemed like they had more speed than Ole Miss in the way they spread them out, and that's kind of what A&M does. But A&M going on the road, and A&M's defense not really being their strong suit. They try to outscore you. What do you see in that matchup? I still think Ole Miss is a year away from being talented and kind of being able to compete with everybody. But what do you see in that matchup?
Well, I'll agree with you. I think I had Ole Miss a little bit overrated compared to what a lot of people had, and I had LSU underrated. So that tells you how much I know. But, you know, coming into this year, and the expectation for Ole Miss was to possibly creep up into that third slot in the SEC West. Well, that's not happening. We're seeing Auburn make actually a bigger jump, a quicker jump under Gus Malzahn than what Ole Miss really had in their second year under Hugh Freeze. And, you know, you look at what Auburn did to him last week. It's more about Bo Wallace turning – efficient Bo Wallace turned erratic Bo Wallace last week. Threw a pick six, threw his first two interceptions, certainly of the season, and Auburn ran it right down their throats for over 200 yards. So A&M has four caliber running backs that can compete with anybody in the SEC, and add on top of that Johnny Manziel. And it's going to be an interesting matchup. You know, Texas A&M and Manziel are sitting in the pocket a little bit, throwing the football. Ole Miss is the number two ranked passing defense. I think Ole Miss goes on the road and certainly gets that done.
A&M, yeah. And Davis, I think his name's Mike Davis, but he's not the fastest receiver, but he's definitely the most physical. And I think he's NFL ready, and he looks like he translates into an H-back in the NFL, being that the way they're using the tight end now, kind of flexing him out like a Antonio Gates. But one interesting thing with Auburn is Gus Malzahn, they only missed one recruiting class. And so with Auburn, what they had, they were trying to change a little bit, a different style. But those are still some of the same kids that Gus recruited there. So that's why I think you're seeing them have a little more success than what people thought.
Well, I think certainly when you look at the Gene Chizik era in Auburn, the one thing you can't knock him for is recruiting, and he signed a top five class every year. You look at the two biggest guys that came out of Chizik's era was Cam Newton and Nick Fairley. Both those guys are JUCO players, so you could argue that Gene Chizik and his staff never really fully developed the two best players that were so prominent in the national title. So we know he inherited some talent. What we didn't know is how he was going to change the culture of the program, and he's done a fantastic job so far.
John, I'm looking at your SEC power rankings that you've posted on Saturday Down South, and you've got Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Texas A&M, Florida. You've got Florida above South Carolina. I guess that's that could change after this week.
Oh, certainly. That's the beauty of college football is you're only as good as your last game. And that's why we love this sport so much. It's not just the longevity. I mean, we have a playoff essentially every week. That's the beauty of this sport and the beauty actually of the BCS, which is kind of going to go away after this year. So that's the top five right now. You can argue South Carolina at number five, certainly, and Florida at number six. What we're going to learn is Missouri for real. And can Georgia sustain all the injury losses this week? So that's two things to keep an eye on as far as moving up and down this power ranking.
Let me ask you this real quick. Let's go back to this Arkansas game, and you've already talked a little bit about Mike Davis and Alex Collins, two outstanding running backs in the SEC. If you were able to start one team, have one game, and pick either one of these guys, who would you take, and why would you take them?
In this football game or in the SEC?
If you had an SEC game to play and you either had to take Alex Collins or Mike Davis, who would you take? And it's just for one game.
That's such a great question. For one game, it would be hard to bet against Alex Collins. I like Davis for the longevity of the season. I think he's more physically ready to compete. But, you know, if you're looking for the burst and the speed and the vision, I think Alex Collins has it all.
I like that as well. You know, the other question I have is, when you look at the Razorback defense, the secondary is not that great in this ball game, but the defensive line is the best in the SEC right now. They've got 17 sacks. Do you see this defensive line being able to get after Connor Shaw?
Well, it's a great question, and they're going to scheme against it, obviously. With Connor Shaw or Dylan Thompson, the offense changes dramatically. I think they have a better opportunity to beat Arkansas with Connor Shaw as opposed to Dylan Thompson, not because he's the starting quarterback, but because it gives him an added dimension on the ground. So anytime you can contain a running quarterback, and they did a particularly good job against Johnny Manziel and even Tyler Murphy last week, making those guys beat him through the air. But, you know, in order to contain Connor Shaw, that's the big deal. You know, when their running game is not on, you got to make sure he's not doing it for them.
John Cooper from Saturday Down South joining us on Overtime.
And one thing I noticed last year with Mettenberger, it looked like he had the tools, but he wasn't comfortable yet. And I just want to get your thoughts on what has he improved on the most? Because physically he's gifted. Is he just more comfortable in this offense, more talent around him? Last year watching him, I just couldn't figure out why he wasn't putting up better numbers. And this year it seems like he is a lot more comfortable.
You can point a lot of that towards Cam Cameron, the new offensive coordinator, new quarterback coach, and he's had a history with guys, Phillip Rivers and Joe Flacco and on in the NFL, guys he's tutored that have become better quarterbacks and therefore putting up some serious numbers in the league. And, you know, maybe that's what Mettenberger needed. And they had an offensive line coach really as the offensive coordinator last year. Steve Kragthorpe was who's sick now and still within that program was doing the quarterbacks. And, you know, Zach probably never felt comfortable. This is a different style of offense. He's getting the ball out quicker. And it helps that Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, his two NFL caliber receivers, they're more consistent this year. There was a lot of drop passes last year that really hurt his numbers. And, you know, particularly inside the pocket, he's looking more comfortable. He's not looking over his shoulder for a rush. And he's moving a little bit better with in and around the pocket, too. So his stride has been great. You could argue he's the most improved player in college football.
John Cooper from Saturday Down South joining us on Overtime. Okay, last question, John. We'll put you on the spot. Of all the games going on this weekend, what's your upset, if you have one, what's your upset pick this weekend?
Well, the upset pick is going to be Missouri over Georgia. Coming off of an emotional win against Tennessee and being banged up, I think this is the absolute best time to catch Georgia. Put on top of that a noon game. Usually the crowd isn't fully in it. Missouri might be catching Georgia at the perfect time.
How many points does Alabama beat Kentucky by?
As many as they want to.
Blue, what's the spread on that, 25.5?
I haven't even looked yet.
They're probably, I would say, a 3-touchdown favorite. I'd say Kentucky covers.
Yeah, I mean, if you notice these last few games when Alabama's been playing an opponent that they have been favored by that much, it's been like 35-3 type games, or they're not running the score up, and I think that's because they don't have to. You know, you look at Oregon and Baylor, you know, putting up crazy numbers, but I think Nick Saban and them, they understand that they don't have to go win 65-3 to be that number one BCS team, just winning the SEC. And sometimes they get a loss in the SEC, they're still in that national championship game.
Yeah, certainly that. Style points isn't a big deal to Nick Saban, never has been. Cap on top of that, just a loaded roster that he feels he needs to get in there to keep everybody happy too.
John Cooper, Saturday Down South. Man, we appreciate your insight and knowledge and look forward to having you back on the program.
Hey, appreciate it, RJ. You guys have a good day.